Skull Rock Podcast, talking all things Disney with your hosts, Aljon Go and Dave Bossert.
Do you just love to learn more about the magic that embodies animated films, theme park attractions, and more? The all-encompassing universe created and produced by the genius of Walt Disney has spanned nearly 100 years and counting.
From his earliest film endeavors with the Laugh-O-Gram cartoons and the Alice comedies, to the creation of Mickey Mouse, to the first animated feature film, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and then dreaming up Disneyland, Walt Disney continuously raised the creative bar, and today his company has carried on that tradition as a global entertainment juggernaut. I'm Dave Bossert, artist, filmmaker, and author.
And I'm Aljon Go, musician, podcaster, and radio guy. Every week, Dave and I will explore the entertainment galaxy that is Disney with insightful conversation, stories, and special guests talking all things Disney.
Listen to never-before-heard stories and behind-the-scenes moments from some of your favorite Disney films, theme park attractions, performances, books, music, and so much more from knowledgeable, insightful, and thought-provoking hosts and guests. Hear the latest news about Disney past, present, and future.
Skull Rock Podcast is your go-to source for the magic we all love. Skull Rock Podcast. Visit skullrockpodcast.com.
Of the Sorcerer Radio Network.
An imagination, huh?
Are you guys ready?
Are you ready?
From the Gator Framework Studio in Music City, it's the Disney List. The Disney List. Disney fans Kristen Hetzel and Aljon Go bring you top 10 lists from the Disney parks, films, Star Wars, Marvel, news, travel tips, and more. Now prepare yourself for the Disney List.
Welcome everybody, one and all, to the Disney List, your weekly list show, where we count down all kinds of great Disney, Marvel, Star Wars stuff. My name is Aljon Go. I am a pop culturist, podcaster, loving Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars, of course. Welcome to the Disney List, joined by my ever-loving co-host. She is the Dining at Disney guru. She is also a authorized vacation planner. She's got her ears. It's Kristen Hetzel. Hello.
Hello. You could also add crazy cat lady.
Crazy cat lady?
Uh-huh, because I have cats at my feet right now. Yeah. They're wanting my attention.
That's okay. That's all right.
Hello. Hey,
we're talking all things D23 Destination D. And I had been on, was it last week's Disney List, talking about either that or I get all our podcasts mixed up because I think I did like four or five podcasts this week because you were out this week being sick and I was hosting the Dining at Disney podcast plus Skull Rock podcast, all of which on Sorcerer Radio. And I'm just hoping to God that our cat doesn't just run over our studio set here. This is the issue we have sometimes, but
somebody wants their mommy's attention.
I guess so. But anyway, but I had said something about the Disney Plus last week, the Disney Plus announcements, and I had said something on a podcast that they don't normally blow the roof off the house until the D23 Expo. And one of our listeners, who I also guest on their podcast, had said something like, you know, you mean so they're waiting until next week to do all the announcements? I'm like, you, and I was like, where did you hear that? He's like, you're the guy. You said that it was going to be at the D23 Expo. And I said, the next week is Destination D, not the D23 Expo. So that's wrong. Everybody looks at D23, it's like, it's one big thing. And it's like, no, this is not the D23 Expo. Now, this is bigger than some other Destination Ds we've seen in the past. But, you know, I don't know. They are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World Resort, which is kind of what they're doing here at the D23 Destination D event. So, there you go, dude. Sorry, what can I tell you? You know, it's not the D23 Expo. The D23 Expo is massive. And that's where they have all the star power. And we've covered it for many, many years. And I'm sure if things had been different this time out, we would have also been able to cover this event as well. But as luck would have it, Kristen.
Yes.
You know, we have children now.
Yes, we do. We have two little ones.
So and of course, in this environment now, you know, in the midst of still, you know, the pandemic and writing that out, we are making plans, but, you know, it's not like we're going to go by the end of the year. We're not going to any Disney park over the next few months, at least. We're waiting patiently. We're waiting patiently. So be patient with us because we used to go all the time. But Kristen, you saw some of the Destination D events live stream. What did you think of it?
I would have to say the Star Wars stuff was interesting that they showed about the hotel. The only thing about that is that's so limiting to who can go to that.
All right. Well, before we go into that, then, if you're going to go, I'm just saying. You're diving down. You're diving down. I just wanted to get some your initial reactions, but
I don't know. I've been under the weather, so
okay. All right. Well, before we get into the nitty gritty, we've got a full recap for you, as well as some clips from the live stream that we're able to see. Which, by the way, they've consequently taken down. Don't know why they've done that.
Ooh.
I guess they don't want it to be. They don't want you to see it outside of their live streaming. And I guess what they're going to do is probably repurpose a lot of that for future content.
So, we will see it later this week on Disney Plus.
That'd be great if they would. That'd be awesome. But what I really wanted to do is before we get into the nitty gritty, is let everyone know that if you're interested in supporting our show, we would love for you to do that. Don't forget to send us those emails at thedisneylist@gmail.com. You can also send us voicemails there during for the show if you have questions at anchor.fm/thedisneylist. And but I think one of the coolest things you can do is book your next Disney trip or Universal, because Universal's opening up a new theme park soon too. You know, which is exciting for us theme park fans, if you will. We may just have to do a little extra show that is non-Disney, just covering the new Universal park, which will be different.
True.
Yeah. But you can book your Adventures by Disney or any cruise line, whether it be Norwegian or Carnival or, of course, Disney. With this young lady here, Kristen, why don't you tell people why everybody should book a trip through you?
Because I will find them the best deal available.
Right on. And?
That saves them money.
Well, and time.
And a lot of time.
Yeah.
Considering I was on hold 2.5 hours this week.
The lengths that I will go through. Kristen, where can people email you?
They can email me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
I love it.
I'm Al John Go, podcaster and producer of the Disney List, Skull Rock Podcast, and Dining at Disney. When you're creating content, podcasts, webcasting, live streaming, or wanting to step up your video conference calls, you need quality gear and accessories. That's why I use Gator Frameworks in my studio. From professional broadcast boom arms and microphone stands, studio monitor speaker stands, ring light kits, headphone holders, elite furniture studio desks, and acoustic wall treatments, Gator Frameworks has you covered. Gator is the leading brand of cases, stands, and support system solutions for music, pro AV, creative pro, IT, and general utility industries. They have over 1,000 different solutions made from vacuum-form plastics, rational molded plastics, wood, sewn, and EVA materials. Leveraging their expertise in case design and manufacturing, Gator has a complete OEM division that works with leading companies around the world to engineer and create custom cases for original equipment manufacturers. For more information, visit GatorFrameworks.com. Product provided in exchange for promotional consideration.
All right. Destination D 2021 just wrapped up. We've got the highlights for you. And all I have to say is, bless Josh DeMauro. Right? I mean, that guy.
He was trying.
He was trying hard. He was trying really hard. But, you know, it's cool. We'll talk a little bit about some of the reveals here. We've got some highlights here.
People posted and said that when they got to meet him, because I saw some posts on social media, that he was very nice and friendly.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good. Disney needs nice and friendly right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Josh DeMauro is he's got the smiling face, right? And chances are, he is the chairman of Disney Parks Experience and Products. We've seen him before. He's been around. And he got a pretty decent reception, I would say, considering Bob Chapek wasn't there. So I'll just leave that there.
I'm sure Bob Paycheck wasn't there for very good reasons.
Well, that's what they say. And I think we'll just take it at that. We'll take it at face value. So here are some really cool highlights. Things kind of started, pretty cool. And then Josh is basically telling us that all of these things are back. A lot of these things are back. Holiday foods are back. Hong Kong Disneyland is back.
Character dining. Chef Mickey's.
Yes, that's right.
The Dapper Dans.
Yep. What else? The Mariachi Divas are back over there at Disneyland
Blizzard
Resort.
Beach will be back.
That's right.
Beignets.
Beignets are back.
My favorite. Beauty and the Beast live on stage.
Right.
That is one of my favorites.
All right. Okay. Celebration of the Festival of Lion King is back. Mini golf at Winter Summerland is back over at Walt Disney World. You also have, I'm just scrolling down. Okay. The
Disney
Tycho Drummers.
Fairy Tale Weddings for those of you that have some money to spend.
There you go. Fairy Tale Hall and Princess Tiana is back. So Disney Pin Trading is returned. And the holiday cheer at Disneyland Paris with the amazing Mickey's Dazzling Christmas Parade is back. And Illuminate, a nighttime celebration, is back at Shanghai Disneyland. So there is a lot of things basically saying, oh, yes, and how could we forget churros are back.
And holiday foods.
Yeah, that's right.
A Yay. Lot of it.
Yes. So there's a lot of things that are back. And you know, a lot of us know these kind of things because we follow and talk about it. But once again, folks, this live stream being broadcast for a lot of people don't follow Disney the way you and I follow Disney and other people follow Disney, where we're always talking about the news and the headlines and things. And maybe some of us have forgotten a lot of these things have actually been back, you know? So I think people scoff at a lot of this. It's like, oh, all this is back. All this is back. But, you know, this is a good way of saying, once again, they're back in the theme park business. They're open. They're open and ready for people to spend their money, right? So next thing, they're talking about larger than life characters.
This was cool.
Now, we've talked a little bit about Project EXO, and what that is the exoskeletons that have people inside of it, but use mechanical advantage to walk around the park. So you could, and they've teased this on the Imagineering Instagram and other places about how they've done the exoskeletons with the printed muscles and the different things that they're doing to make them very more lifelike. So they have this person walking around in one of the Rogue One creature outfits, right? That kind of looks Wampa-like, but not really. You know, it's just, you know, one of those big Star Wars characters.
Yeah.
Now, it says here, Imagineers working on bringing characters of all sizes to life in authentic ways at the Disney parks. And right now they're developing a full body exoskeleton system that they've nicknamed Project EXO. It's still an early concept development, and Josh and the team shared a glimpse of what is in the future of Disney parks. Now, go ahead. What does this mean? Could we see Sully, a full life Sully, or a full life Incredible Hulk? True to life scale Thanos?
Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph, yep.
An actual Yeti walking around.
That'd be cool. That'd be insane.
Who else was I think? I had a handful of people in my head that I had thought of that they could use this for.
Well, there's a lot of Star Wars creatures that could do this for sure. You know, Wampas and Rogue One creature, Wreck-It Ralph, you said, Sully from Monsters, Inc., Incredible Hulk or Thanos, Hulkbuster armor, which would be super cool, right? So there are a lot of these kind of bigger than life characters that could utilize this, and they showed the articulation in the hands, which was really neat. So once again, not a huge thing, but to see it on stage and to see the scale of how this kind of character exoskeleton has the scale, like, you know, like twice the size of a normal person. It's pretty insane. Plus the articulation of those hands. It's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty then. Also, World of Color and Fantasmic are returning to the Disneyland Resort next year, along with the Main Street Electrical Parade, which will return to celebrate the 50th anniversary. Then we found out that the Magic Band Plus will be coming to Disneyland Resort next year. How about that? I have to wonder if that Magic Band will be able to be used in both theme parks. If it's got to be based on the same technology, right? You got to think.
Yeah.
I would think that now everything, the infrastructure is going to be the same. But once again, they also showed Magic Band Plus and the different features, unlocking unique moments at the resort over at Disneyland. Of course, Walt Disney World too. Of course, we know that because we've been living with it now for the past 5 years. So there you go. Is it been 5 years? Maybe 5-6 years. So they also have got the new Hey Disney voice assistant, which, by the way, Josh did give away, I think, one of these to a special guest, which was nice. And I look forward to actually having one of these at home because it works with Amazon units as well, which is really neat. And I guess you're going to have this little assistant there bedside every night. So make sure you turn that microphone off so that people can't eavesdrop on you. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, you know, Amazon's always listening to you, you know?
The things that they know.
The things that they know. Exactly right. Kristen, you want to take this one?
At Disneyland Resort, Downtown Disney District is being planned to be worked on starting in January of 2022. It's a multi-year project where they're going to reimagine the district, and it'll include a broader collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences. And more details will be coming in 2022.
I'm like, where is our cat?
It's Loki. He's back there.
I hear him. I hear him scratching on something. I'm like, what is he doing?
He's trying to get into the bookcase behind me.
Oh, goodness. Kitty.
Loki wants my attention, like, really bad right now. He's like, Mommy, pay attention to me.
Josh also shared an image showing the exciting progress being made for the much anticipated Tron attraction coming to Magic Kingdom. There has been no date regarding that. But what he did do after that is he brandished a lightsaber. So let's kind of take a look at what this is all about.
Welcome to the Lightsaber Training Pod. So excited to have you here.
This looks unbelievable.
We have been working on this experience to have a whole brand new way for our guests to experience this ancient art of the lightsaber.
Can I hold that?
Absolutely.
That's mine?
Please, okay. Please. Okay. This is for you.
So do I turn it on or
go for
what
it.
Do
right,
I do here?
Right there.
Oh. All right, so I'm
so
standing
you're,
right
you're right there.
Facing
you're
here.
Face off against the remote.
That is fun.
Welcome to the Halcyon Star Cruiser.
This looks so cool in here.
Here in front of the systems, this is one of my favorite places because you actually get to push all the buttons. You can actually change the settings, control the ship. But, you know, we can really use some help defending the ship. Are you up for it?
I'm definitely up for it. I don't know, you should trust me to do it.
You're going to be actually guiding where we're aiming, so you're gonna aim and I'll fire.
Okay.
All right. Last thing to do, you want to take us to hyperspace?
I would love to take it to hyperspace.
All right.
Just don't let me mess this up.
You got this.
Okay.
So, you know, just give that lever a strong pull.
Okay.
All right. So what did you think about that?
He looked like he was having a lot of fun getting to do that, you know?
I think so. You know, look, here's what I appreciate. I appreciate the fact that Josh brandished a lightsaber for the event. It looked really cool as you saw it extend, and then you went into the experience there on the Halcyon, the Galactic Star Cruiser, where you know they had to take all their lights and everything and illuminate a little bit of the bridge and everything of what you're going to be doing. And they didn't have all the sound and everything pumped in there to give you that visceral experience of, you know, being in a dogfight that the First Order was hunting you down and shooting lasers at you and all that stuff. So it was a little bit different. And then you could hear them, you know, hitting the buttons like they were playing an Xbox or something. It's like a little underwhelming. But what I don't like is that they're talking about lightsabers being real and only Rey is going to get this lightsaber. The guests, when they do the training, aren't going to have a real lightsaber. They literally handed him a hilt and they're trying not to like show that it has the lightsaber attached to it already. It's like, that was cheesy. Like, I'm paying like $5,000 for this. Give me a lightsaber that can extend like a real lightsaber, folks. Right? I mean, hopefully they change that. People are going to look at that and go, no. I mean, you want me to get the lightsaber in Batuu and just bring it in and just use that instead? Like, that's much cooler than just some generic lightsaber you're going to send me.
That's true.
Right? Like, come on, people. You keep on talking about real lightsabers and you're cheapening out on giving me a real lightsaber to use at this experience. Yeah. Anyway. All right.
Well, hey, at least it's not one of those plastic ones that you flick your wrist to make it extend
like
out.
Like the old,
you know?
Jedi Training Academy.
Oh, yeah.
Like the ones that they give like the 5-year-olds.
Yes.
It's like to your shoulder, to your other shoulder, to the head, to your kneecap, then to your head again. Okay. Oh, I loved it too. And you can tell Josh isn't really a lightsaber expert either because he's like sitting there moving with his whole body. It's like, no, all you have to do is move the saber with your arms instead of God love him though. I mean, look, he's having fun, right? So we also have another big announcement. So unlike the Tron roller coaster that has no date, we do have a date for Guardians of the Galaxy Galactic Rewind, or Cosmic Rewind rather. Kristen?
Yes.
It's opening.
It is opening.
Summer 2022. It's part of the Walt Disney World Resort 50th anniversary celebration.
I cannot wait to go on that.
Debuting the newly renamed World Discovery neighborhood of Epcot, this family thrill coaster attraction will match the scale and adventure of Guardians of the Galaxy films Marvel Studios presents, inviting guests to come on an intergalactic chase through time and space. It will feature the first reverse launch on a Disney coaster and will be one of the longest fully enclosed coasters in the world. And we have a little announcement from a special guest.
Hi, Disney Parks fans. It's Glenn Close here, and I am so excited to be reprising my role as Nova Prime for an all-new attraction coming to Epcot next summer called Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. We can't wait to see you all there so you can help us save the galaxy. See you soon.
Well, I guess she didn't die on the attack that of Xandar that happened there. Yeah. So, hey, well, maybe she did. Maybe this was done before her untimely demise with Nova Prime and the Xandarian leader. Yeah, so very cool. But it's nice.
Her from another universe.
Ah, that's right. It's a multiverse now. So there you have it, right? Then, as part of the historic transformation of Epcot, teams have been reimagining the front of the park and the entry
experience for guests. In the future, there will be a new location near Spaceship Earth called Dreamer's Point, with a spectacular view of the park and a new statue of Walt Disney. Oh, yes, of course. And Disney Imagineers are working to bring the statue to life, and then they showed a video.
That, I think, is really cool.
Yeah.
That may be one of the most exciting things that they're adding.
Yeah, they've announced that at the D23 Expo, and we were there. We were streaming it.
I forgot that they were doing that, though.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool. And they talked about Dreamer's Point. They were talking about the fact that Walt Disney's there. So very cool. I really like that. And, of course, an opportunity for people. I can just imagine how many people are going to have their picture taken with Walt sitting there at the steps, the life-size rendition of Walt, which is cool. Talk about this, Kristen, since you're the Disney foodie. Josh, yes, also shared the name of the new quick service restaurant, Connections Cafe and Eatery, debuting at the World Celebration neighborhood of Epcot as part of the park's ongoing transformation. This is the electric umbrella, right?
Yes, it is.
So
it looks like it's going to be cool, despite the name.
The lackluster name?
Yeah, it's very generic sounding. Like, it sounds like a place that you would be stopping that's part of a gas station. Okay. You know, like, it just does not sound like a Disney. I don't know. Somebody, they let some random person pick the name.
Disney's really fond of taking two things and blending them together, like Imagineering, Communicore, you know, those type of things. And Connections Cafe, couldn't they call it, like, you know, Discovery something, or, you know, something? I don't know. I've got a lot of ideas, but nothing is coming up for this particular Connections Cafe and Eatery. It just sounds very generic, but it looks awesome.
Yes, it does.
Really nice open concept, a lot of bright colors.
I hope it has good food.
Well, so far so good. I mean, look at what they've done over at Marvel over there on the left coast. So looks pretty cool. Well, if that wasn't enough, we're all fans of what's going on with the Society of Explorers and Adventurers at Disney Sea, if you will. They're starting to put a lot of these things into the parks, the Jungle Cruise,
Skipper Canteen.
Skipper Canteen. Yeah, that's right. Right. So right now, fans of the Society of Explorers and Adventurers have got a brand new book in the middle grade adventure series, Shinji Takeshi and the Mark of the Coat, by international best-selling author Julie Kagawa, will be available wherever books are sold starting this April from Disney Publishing Worldwide. The series will explore the Society of Explorers and Adventurers lore behind Disney parks, characters, attractions, interconnected stories, and more across Disney theme parks, resorts, and cruise ships. And so that's a neat little Easter egg they're putting in book form, which is going to be really nice.
I'm guessing middle grade means like adolescent age reading.
Mm-hmm. Just like Nancy Drew.
Yeah.
And the Hardy Boys. Mm-hmm. Or Goosebumps, right?
Yeah.
And that type of reader, you know? Yeah, those were a lot of fun when I was growing up, those type of books. Anyway, Imagineers are bringing new magic to the Disneyland Hotel. So Imagineers are hard at work infusing the new resort property with elements that bring Disney storytelling to life, all inspired by characters and stories from Walt Disney Animation Studios' classic films. There will be a newly designed pool and recreation area, along with a variety of room types and the ability to explore magical steps away at the Disneyland Resort. And I have to say, I looked at the inside of this. Looks really cool. You know, we saw the Moana room and some other things, and that looks really cool. And Dave Bossert, you know, is re-releasing a Disneyland Hotel book. So, you know, you get to see the Disneyland Hotel and look at how it's working out. It looks really neat. It's projected to open in 2023. So very cool indeed. Once again, these are not mind-blowing releases. Not, you know, nobody is churning heads here in terms of their the cool stuff. You know what I mean? It's not mind-blowing by any means. Kristen, you want to take this
concept art
so
here?
So over at Disneyland Park, there will be a change to Mickey's Toontown. They will be reimagining the land with all new experiences for families and young children, and it's going to feature a new play experience as well as open grassy areas, and that will be available for enjoyment in 2023.
There you go. There you have it.
So goodbye, Mickey's Toontown.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were just talking about how you and I were the mayors of Toontown about 11 years ago or whatever it was when we were dual pass holders at both coasts.
Yeah, 12 years ago.
Oh, man. Wasn't that right? Cool, though? Yeah, something like that.
09.
Yeah. I have to say, though, that was a magical moment. I'll never forget it. It was so much fun, and I'm glad it's getting a fresh coat of paint. You know, a lot of people just go to Toontown just to ride
Roger Rabbit
and just kind of skedaddle. Right. So this is going to be great for them. They have that refurbished area. When the newest ship of the Disney Cruise Line fleet, the Disney Wish, sets sail for the first time this summer, families will discover a new world, or as you will say, a whole new world created especially for them. The Disney Wish will premiere two stage shows at the Disney Theater, and they talked about this. Disney's The Little Mermaid, an original Broadway-style reimagining of the Walt Disney Animation Studios classic with a modern and innovative take on a young woman learning the power of her voice. The show will feature dazzling special effects, innovative theatrical design, artistic choreography, and a reimagined script and score that will surprise and delight guests of all ages. Disney Sea's Adventure will follow Goofy, as he discovers his own inner captain with the help of Captain Minnie and an all-star cast of Disney and Pixar characters. That sounds like fun. And you know a little bit about the Disney Cruise Line and the type of shows that they offer. Aren't they fun?
Yes. Very family-friendly, fun shows.
Fun family fare. But that should be great. And I remember them bringing some of this stuff to life. And I have to say that those state shows are always amazing. So that was a nice look there. At Shanghai Disney Resort, we're celebrating the park's fifth anniversary during its year of magical surprises. Whoopee! I added that whoopee part. Work is progressing on a Zootopia-themed land and first ever land themed to Zootopia. Josh shared footage of new audio animatronic figures, including Yaks and Yaks the Yak, which looks great. Looks like an amazing new animatronic, so I'm down with that.
I wonder if they'll have a sloth.
Probably. It'll be moving very slowly.
They should have one that you interact with. That would be awesome.
Just would he be the one to get you your Lightning Lane pass or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be amazing.
That would be hilarious, right?
That would be the best thing ever.
I don't even know what they have there in Shanghai. But all right, Kristen, you want to take this about Tokyo?
Yes. A new themed port called Fantasy Springs is coming to Tokyo Disney Sea. It's going to be expansive once it's complete and will be the park's eighth and largest port when it opens in 2 years.
That is cool. I love Tokyo Disneyland and this looks absolutely amazing. And Kristen, one of these days we're all going to go to Tokyo to check out the cleanest Disney park in history.
Okay.
Take it from me. It was clean. It was so clean. Now, continuing on with our overseas parks in Hong Kong Disney, Imagineers are bringing a new Frozen-themed area to life that also includes two special thrill rides. And Josh took a look at how the Frozen area is shaping up. Looks really, really nice. Like, this concept art is amazing. So, all right. Now, how about this, Kristen? The 30th anniversary celebration at Disneyland Paris is beginning March 6th, featuring dazzling shows, entertainment, decor along Main Street USA, and new costumes for Mickey Mouse and pals. We've been talking about this, and I told you that the 30th anniversary of Disneyland Paris is coming up. But this new limited time show will debut at the Castle Hub over there at Paris, and is bringing back the classic shows and parades, including Disney Stars of Parade and Disney Illuminations for the celebration. Very, very nice.
They also have Avengers Campus opening next summer as part of that 30th anniversary celebration. It says they're going to offer incredible new experiences for superhero fans, right on the heels of opening of Disney Hotel New York, the Art of Marvel, earlier in the year.
Very good. Very good.
We should plan for the 40th.
I like it. I like it. Very cool indeed. So, yeah, man, I mean, that is pretty, pretty amazing. And I have a couple of great clips here. And I thought I'd bring this out. So let's talk a little bit about what we're going to see here. So what we have here is a little highlight about what's going on for Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, Kristen. So we saw a little bit of this panel, and it's always fun when they're talking about what we're going to experience there at the resort during your cruise. So let's go ahead and get into what we're going to be experiencing and who we're going to be hanging out with.
Now, earlier today, you may have heard Scott Trowbridge talk about Gaia, our galactic pop star. She's incredible. But not only is her music amazing and she's got an amazing voice, she's incredibly wildly talented. She's from the home world of Ryloth. And Gaia will do anything it takes to make sure her home world stays free. So when she does her set at supper, which she will, she'll literally do a set in the first seating of the first and second seatings of dinner on the first night. You might hear her sing a song about power. She knows a thing or two about him, about power, because she knows a thing or two about coaxium. And that coaxium is gonna help save her planet. And you might be able to help her. All of these characters have stories that will enlist the passengers to help them, that those passengers become a crucial part of how their stories unfold.
Okay, I had a chance. This is amazing, Wendy, amazing. Because on the ship, right? Like, fans can read about them outside of the ship.
Definitely. So some of the art that we've seen here is from Marvel Comics, Halcyon Legacy, which tells a lot about the history that I've spoken to, as well as we're going to see some of the events turn up in the big High Republic storytelling initiative that we're working on. Starting in January, the first Halcyon-related story will come out. And then we'll continue it. There's the little nugget that I dropped about that special couple will come to play in another story. To be seen in probably a year or two.
All right, Kristen. So there's a little bit about who you're going to be hanging out with and who you're going to be seeing on the show. Now you're actually going to see some music during dinner.
Yes. I was going to say, you get a little dinner and a show.
I like that. But more importantly than that, I think the fact that it was revealed that who you hang out with and what portions of the ship you hang out with the different cast members will determine, and the choices that you make will determine what side you're on and how your adventure unfolds. You might be hanging out with a band. You might be hanging out with a bartender. You might be hanging out with some of the people that run the ship, like the crew.
I don't know. I'll hang out with the bartender. That sounds like a good plan for me.
Absolutely. Not to mention the fact it was also revealed that there was a lot of stuff, characters that date all the way back to the prequel trilogy that hung out on this ship, that I think Padme and Anakin had their honeymoon on the Halcyon, and that Lando Calrissian and Hondo Ohnaka also had run-ins in the Halcyon as well. I mean, absolutely, Lando Calrissian. You know, he probably played a couple card games on that ship. So that sounds very interesting. But more importantly than that, they showed us a little bit more about how you can create your own Star Wars story with some awesome merchandise.
All right, well, I will meet you backstage where I will have more questions.
you know I'm well-trained to not tell you anything.
You will tell me what happens. All right, so Brad, I want to toss it to you because the storytelling about Chandrila Starlines and the Halcyon Star Cruiser continues through the merchandise, and you have been so kind to let me wear some of it today. I'm gonna Let's see, take off my cloak here because I have a beautiful Chandra Starline shirt and exclusive jewelry pieces that I'm wearing. And you're wearing one of the t-shirts as well.
Yeah.
So what can you tell us about the merchandise?
Well, bringing this merchandise to life has been so much fun for myself and the team that works on this. We had the pleasure of bringing Galaxy's Edge to life, but this really lets you dive into the finer side of life in the Star Wars galaxy. We took inspiration from a lot of the content. We have the benefit of so much great resources. So we looked back at the prequel era. We looked at Dryden Voss's yacht from Solo, A Star Wars Story. We also looked at Canto Bight. And really, when we see those moments where guests are dressing up, they're having fun, how do we get inspired by some of that for our product? So the unique thing about the ship is that it gives us a whole nother piece of that world. So our final piece of inspiration was, of course, the ship and the experience itself. But this is unlike anything else, because you, if you choose to be, are part of this story. So you can also come up with your own backstory. Who are you? Where are you from? What are you thinking about this whole experience? We wanted to give you lots of tools to really build out your look. So we have something for everyone. I call this the best fashion in the galaxy, but this is the ultimate role play, really. And the cloak that Ashley was wearing is a perfect example of where we went back to the legacy archives at Skywalker Ranch. We pulled Amidala's cloak. We looked at the fabrication. We got copies of the patterns. It is the most realistic, and I've held the original one. It is the most realistic piece that we've ever been able to bring out to our fans. There's also pieces that are for the kids. They're inspired by a lot of the characters you meet on the ship. So your saber trainer, your captain, your engineer. What are all those role play pieces that you can really build for yourself? Each one comes with layers of customization, and Ashley's jewelry is a great picture of that, where depending on how you choose to accessorize it, how you choose to wear it, you can really make it your own and really build it into whatever character or story you're bringing to life. Of course, we are on the Halcyon from the Chandra Starline. We have a logo line. So any cruise I've ever been on, I get excited to go to the boutique and check out what they have that's unique to that ship and that experience. So we have a whole line of product, again, something for everyone in the family that really builds off the ship as really the hero of your experience, but things that really feature into our CSL logos and our Halcyon. So very exciting there. And of course, the experience you have on the ship is like nothing else we've ever been able to bring to fans for the Star Wars world. The ship is the hero, so we have the model you see here that comes with lights that really brings it to life. But then we also see pieces that you experience while you're there, like your time in the cantinas. This is some of our drinkware, bottle stopper, some of the coaster pieces here, all on the kind of finer side of Star Wars. And that's really not all. Got limited time today, so I couldn't bring you everything, but so excited to share more as we move forward. That's just a glimpse at the merchandise.
Well,
that looks pretty cool.
Cha-ching. Oh, you only spent this much.
And now you can spend more.
Oh my gosh.
Just let me into the gift shop.
I mean, just looking at that just tells you that you are going to be walking out spending hundreds of dollars once you're still in the hotel. not including what you already paid, but to buy your clothes and all this other stuff because you are going to want it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it looks like a lot of fun. So I'll live vicariously through everyone else that's going to do this before we do. So I don't know. It does look interesting. One thing that was hilarious is they did this Walt back into the 80s part of this presentation. Because they went through the different decades. They went through the 80s and the 90s. And I'm just going to play a little bit of this clip because it's absolutely amazing. You ready for this?
Ready.
Okay.
I can tell by the look in your eyes. When it comes to having good times, you take the prize.
We can see by the smile on your face that you're absolutely gonna
fall in love with this place.
Oh, my.
Isn't that great?
Just to make sure.
Isn't that hilarious?
Oh my gosh.
Hi, everyone. Ashley, why are you wearing roller skates?
Well, Brett, it's Walt 80s World, and I thought we were supposed to share some of our favorite things from Walt Disney World in the 80s, and mine was the roller skating rink at Pleasure Island. Right? Anyone? Anyone? Oh, not many people.
No. I mean, I think I'm with them. Some things should be left in the 80s.
Hold on just a minute. Ashley Eckstein, look at that hair.
I know.
That is amazing hair. But did you ever have...
It looks very, very much like Saved by the Bell.
Oh, well, she's totally wearing something Tiffany Thiessen would be wearing, right?
Yes.
I mean, look, the Disney denim jacket. Well, I mean, save, you know, Save Mrs. Bliss, right? And then that, that morning show, the pre-Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
And so Ashley's there. Brett Iwan is there, of course. Two of our favorite people.
Cars and roller skates don't really seem like they mix all that well.
Well, in fairness, I was only 8, so I was just roller skating.
Okay.
But what was one of your favorite things in the 80s?
I'm glad you asked. Actually, one of my favorite things in the 80s were all the amazing looks that Mickey himself was rocking.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at that sorcerer costume. Come on. One of my favorite things was this Mickey doll that was like bright pink and turquoise.
Okay.
Sorcerer. Right.
I'm obsessed with Mickey's Epcot costume.
That is pretty spectacular.
What
and
I
mean, Mickey always looks good in scuba gear, so.
Yep.
Right? but I think you also were a fan of...
I was a fan of Minnie and the decade of Totally Minnie. Who remembers Totally Minnie, right?
Yep.
Yes, yeah, so Minnie had some really good looks.
You, we should have that denim jacket for you, right?
No.
I shouldn't just call Ashley and just get that denim jacket for you?
No.
No?
No.
Those patches look dope, though.
Yeah, the patches are cool. But there's no way I'm wearing a denim jacket with a pink sleeve, a turquoise sleeve, and a purple collar. It is no longer 1980.
No.
And 1980 can keep its fashion.
Oh, okay. So it's like that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So it's
for
like
me,
that.
Yep.
Yeah. Another great moment was they always do these really cool history panels that they have there, of course. They go through a lot of what the resort would ultimately evolve into in terms of their logos, in terms of the different art and the different things they kind of morph and change over the years. So it's pretty cool how they kind of present a lot of this. And some of these moments and some of this behind the scenes stuff was actually revealed in this panel. So please check this out.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kevin Kern. I'm the manager of research for the Walt Disney Archives, and I am so excited to be here to chat a little bit more about the behind-the-scenes making of both our book and the development of Walt Disney World. Because of the foresight of our founder, Disney legend Dave Smith, we have an amazing historical record of ephemera in our collection that documents and maps and showcases the opening of Walt Disney World, that entire preview month from October 1st, 71 through the end of the month. So some of the material that ended up in the book highlights this. Now, one ticket that really just made our hearts sing when we found it was an example of a preview month ticket, a special admission ticket from October 1st, 1971. On the back of the ticket also has a nice, lovely little greeting from Roy with his signature. Now, all through preview month, there were specialty days for different groups, including things like there was a dedicated day for press. The press pass went with that. And Florida citrus growers, if you're an Orange Bird fan, the Florida citrus growers also had their own dedicated day in early October. Digging a little bit deeper into the collection, we also found some of the earliest examples of individual or standalone tickets, both to the Magic Kingdom and for transportation around the resort. And there was also specialty tickets from early on as well. Things like the Walt Disney World Open, that early initial golf classic, the colors and the tickets that were issued for those were also used as bag tags for golf clubs. Other things that are usually tossed, right, thrown away, early parking tickets or car passes, and even an early pre-Disney dollars version of currency, this being a recreation coupon for Walt Disney World, and includes Roy Disney's signature. How fun is that?
Thank you so much, Kevin. And a big shout out.
So that was pretty cool. There's some really neat things that they did. Once again, nothing mind-blowing or earth-shattering in terms of what they're presenting, but very cool that they would have these panels for the big hardcore Disney fans that, once again, really want to delve in deep and know more about the history of the parks and resorts, which we all love that for sure. Did you know, Kristen, that Pam Brandon's putting out another book?
Yes.
Pretty cool. And so what I've got here
It's on my list of things I want for Christmas.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Well, what I have here is a little segment just for you, Kristen. It's Delicious Disney, 50 years of Walt Disney World. And they talk a little bit about their favorite food and dining. Check this out.
Recipes ranging from appetizers and cocktails to desserts and main courses. So I'm going to ask them a couple of questions about the book. Pam, after 21 books, what is different about this one?
Yes, 21 books later. This is number 22. So the first 21 books were really recipes for the new restaurants, for the chefs, celebrating what was new at Disney World, creating a book that you could carry home and recreate recipes. This one covers 50 years of recipes. And it starts with, we have some incredible, we have some incredible recipes in a chapter called Gone But Not Forgotten. This is the peanut pork, which is from the Papeete Bay Veranda, if anybody remembers that. So that was one, the whole chapter has King Stephen's beef and barley soup. It has Cap'n Jack's clam dip. It has all sorts of wonderful recipes. And the book also has these amazing, beautiful vintage pieces of art. This is a rendering of the Top of the World. This was done in 1969 by a Los Angeles design architect named Wilton Beckett. Wilton happened to be a neighbor of Walt and Lillian's, and Walt often called on him to ask him questions and advice. He helped him with the World's Fair. So when they got ready to build the Contemporary, Mr. Beckett was called upon to help design the Contemporary. Wow. He came to Disney World in 1967 with Marty Sklar and Roy Disney. But unfortunately, he passed away in 1969 before he got to see his beautiful Top of the World Supper Club and the Contemporary finished. These are the wonderful vintage pieces of art that are in the book.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then we also have really, really fun stories like Food Rocks. If y'all remember Food Rocks, where of course, Soren's there now. But these are the fun stories that it was so much fun working with Marcy because she dove in on the stories and we just have these wonderful, not only the artwork, but also the stories to go with them. And then also then Liberty Tree Tavern is one of the most wonderful early designs, and the attention to detail with Liberty Tree Tavern and the Liberty Tree being transplanted from elsewhere on property and the beautiful dining rooms. So that is one of the wonderful stories. But I will say the recipe with Liberty Tree Tavern is a very modern recipe. It's the plant-based meatloaf that's on the menu now.
So pretty cool information in this panel, Delicious Disney, 50 years of Walt Disney World, Kristen, and one of your favorite guests and one of your favorite, I guess you could say friends, you know, Pam Brandon, Disney food author, you know, much like yourself, loving it. So I'm hopefully going to be able to maybe get an opportunity to showcase that piece of audio even more during the Dining at Disney podcast, which will be great during the holidays.
I cannot wait to get that book.
It's going
to
be awesome.
I need to count how many Disney cookbooks I actually have because I know that, like, you know, that Pam worked on since there's now 22. See how many of them I actually have.
Absolutely. That's great. Hey, gang, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Once again, we do appreciate it. We encourage everybody to share the show, like the show, like it, love it. And you can also give us those 5-star reviews. We want those. We need those. So please do it. You can find me, Al John Gill, on Instagram. Best way to do that. I also host a couple different podcasts, too. Like Skull Rock Podcast with myself and Disney creative and writer extraordinaire Dave Bossert. We are having tons of fun on the show, having Disney legends talking about their interactions. They're working in the Disney entertainment as well as Imagineering and music and so much more. It is an awesome show. We also run down the films and different things like that there on Skull Rock Podcast. So, Kristen, where can people find you?
You know, I was thinking, actually, you can't find me personally anywhere because I just don't do anything myself. But you can find Dining at Disney.
Where did that come from?
Because I was thinking of that the other day because Cat, you know, Catastrophe, Big Bubba B, I don't do, like, it's just not my thing. Like, I feel like I'm just not that interesting.
You are interesting, but you have Dining at Disney. So
I have Dining at Disney. Okay. You can check out Dining at Disney, diningatdisney.com.
Wait. Hold the phone. You say you're not that interesting, yet you co-host this podcast with me. You host Dining at Disney. People get a lot of personality from you. You've been on Sorcerer Radio now for, 12 years? This is, by the way.
That's right.
We've been, how many, this is
12.
It's November, so we started WDW Tiki Room when?
November of 09.
So we've been at it now this month, November. We've been podcasting for
12 years.
My goodness. My, how time flies.
That's true.
My, how time flies. Anyway, Kristen, where can people find what
Dining
you
at
do?
DiningAtDisney.com.
Jeez.
They can also find the podcast on Anchor or any of their other favorite podcasting platforms.
All right. That's fair.
Which, because I have been under the weather, you did with Bubba last week.
Yes. So last week we talked about the 5,055 Morimoto experience you can get at Disney Springs,
which is insane,
ridiculously crazy, because they're having to open up some Japanese whiskey, which is super rare. It's like,
so if you are a CEO, CFO, any of those kinds of people, you can afford that.
Right. And then we also talked about the triggered Disney fans when they heard that Mickey waffles were no longer going to be served at this particular Disney park. And I have to, and if you didn't read more, you'd think that they'd be removing Disney Mickey waffles. But that wasn't the case. It was only at Paris for however long it's going to be. Right. So I couldn't imagine a Disney property resort not having Mickey waffles for breakfast somewhere.
It just seems wrong.
It's all kinds of wrong. All kinds of wrong. Well, anyway.
It's like not having Mickey in the park. You gotta have Mickey for breakfast.
Big thanks to our friends there at Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com. All of our podcast brethren are there as well. Kristen, you also want to make sure that people book you once again for their Disney trip. Either Disneyland, Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, or any cruise line for that matter, or Adventures by Disney as it's gearing back up. Kristen, where can people email you?
They can email me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
Awesome. I hope you enjoyed this little brief rundown of what happened during the Disney D23 Destination D event. It is not the D23 Expo, y'all, but it was a lot of fun. So thank you for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Al John.
And I'm Kristen, and we'll see you real soon.
The information and opinions expressed in this podcast are for entertainment and informational purposes. All other trademarks mentioned are the property of their respective owners.
I'm Kristen Hetzel, co-host of Dining at Disney podcast. Every week, I chat about dining at Disneyland and Walt Disney World Resort and Disney Cruise Line with my fellow foodie, Bubba. We also feature restaurants and food reviews, information to help you plan your dining, Disney food news, recipes, and a monthly panel discussion. Visit diningatdisney.com and subscribe to Dining at Disney podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcast platform. Dining at Disney podcast, the happiest plate on earth.
I'm Al John Goh, co-host of the Disney List podcast as heard on Sorcerer Radio, as well as Skull Rock podcast, here with my wife, Kristen. Hello.
Hello.
You are an earmarked agent who books Disney travel vacations for people all the time. Give our listeners a reason why they'd want to give you a call instead of just booking a trip by themselves.
Well, I can do all of the legwork for them. I have expertise. I've been to the Disney parks well over 100 times, so they've got that knowledge at their hand, as well as it saves them time and money.
Where can people get in touch with you so that they can book their next Disney cruise, Disney park trip, Adventures by Disney?
They can contact me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.